future generations. KPFT Houston.
Hay un poeta, un artesano y un profeta.
Welcome to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Mike Koenig. Bob Gartner is on controls. And I'm trying not to sigh. I've been sighing at the beginning of every show. Okay. I think the first topic, and by the way, this is open forum. I need to remember to tell you that. This is open forum. 713-526-5738. So you can call in with anything that's been on your mind, or you can wait until I mention something that puts something into your mind that suddenly you want to talk about. First thing, in no particular order, Texas Democrats call on Republicans to respect Texas law and produce all communications with Trump administration. This goes back to disclosure of voter information. I initially ran into this on Facebook from a gentleman by the name of Glenn Maxey, who had been cross-posted by Lane Lewis. Mr. Maxey said the ACLU and the Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC, have both filed separate federal lawsuits. Nobody is exactly sure what the Texas Secretary of State has done at this point, so the Texas Democratic Party has submitted a formal request to gain information from them. And there's a letter that the Texas Democratic Party has published openly that they sent to the Secretary of State. Specifically, they want things like all communications with the Presidential Advisory Commission, all communications with the White House or executive office from January 21st. They want the state's intended response to the request of the commission quoted above, the legal authorities upon which the state relies in providing the specific data, the schedule in which Texas intends to comply with the data request. I'm shortening all of this. If the data has been provided or when the data is provided, if not otherwise prevented by judicial action, and any evidence of which you are aware that support or refute the president's claim that illegal votes were cast in the recent presidential election. This voting information commission is having significant ramifications, significant impacts. We've talked on this show, and of course you hear it elsewhere, about voter suppression, voter intimidation. And this is apparently bringing it to a whole new level. If you want, and by the way, you can go to my website, thinkwingradio.com. There's always a whole lot more on the show post than I ever talk about. Links, citations, topics I don't get to. It can actually get pretty lengthy, but the top portion usually is what today's show is kind of planned about. Thinkwingradio.com. Apparently, starting with a report from Colorado, where something like 3,700 voters have requested that their names be struck from the voting rolls, another 200 voters have requested that their information be made confidential, which is apparently permitted by Colorado state law. Of the people that have requested to be removed from the voting rolls. More than 2,000 are Democrats and almost 400 are Republicans as of the last Colorado Secretary of State report. At that time, about 3,000 people had left the rolls. That number has climbed. Colorado Secretary of State Wayne Williams said he's been trying to dissuade voters from removing their registrations, although I did not see anything in the article about what specific actions he is taking to do so. So this is raising voter intimidation. Now, this is not voter suppression per se, but this is people who are concerned about what this administration, or for that matter, any federal administration, would do with consolidating this much information about every individual voter, party affiliation, voting record, primary voting, perhaps the last four digits of the social, phone numbers, addresses. You know, this is the kind of database that makes aluminum hat people go nuts. And I would say at this point, it's not just aluminum hat people. You know, I don't know whether Texas, I would like to know this, I don't know whether Texas has a law which allows someone to make their voting roll information confidential. Maybe it's something I should look into. Maybe it's something we all should look into. And whoever finds out, give us a report and maybe how. This is serious stuff. You know, we have a guy in office, Trump, who has many flaws. Let's put it that way, many flaws. And to have an administration like his, or a regime like his, in control of this much information, and we should all feel better that it's going to be on a laptop in Vice President Pence's office. I feel great about that. Okay, so there's that. Open forum, 713-526-5738. Let's see. And the next thing, there was just a little note from Mother Jones magazine. And the headline was, did Trump CPA chief just say his mission is to dismantle the agency? Maybe he was joking. And an excerpt from that article is on a conservative Birmingham-based radio program on July 6th, when he responded to praise from co-host Andrea Lindenberg, quote, I like what Donald Trump has done here as president, she said. He took a guy who wanted to get rid of the EPA, dismantle it, and put him in charge of it. And Pruitt replied with a chuckle, quote, that's right, unquote. Pruitt, the former Oklahoma attorney general, had launched 14 lawsuits against the Obama administration's EPA. I mean, this is really a pattern that we see from the Trump regime, that they either aren't nominating people for necessary positions around the government, hollowing out the government, and the people that they have appointed to, for example, department secretary positions, are people who have made no secret of the fact that in many cases they would like to actually destroy that agency. So this is all really, really serious stuff. Now, I've seen a lot of people talk about, well, you know, we have to wait until 2018. And I guess we do, unless there's some other kind of legal stuff that happens, which, you know, we may talk about later. But 2018, two things. Well, maybe three things. I'm not sure I should count. There's the matter of gerrymandering, which may put a crimp in how much influence voters can have. There's the question of vote integrity, which I have had doubts about ever since the 2000 election. I think my doubts have only grown greater. And the third thing, if there is a third thing, let me think for a moment, is whether we can trust the outcome, essentially. So, okay, we've got several callers. We do have open lines, open forum, 713-526-5738. And first caller is Scott. Scott, you're on the air. Thanks for
calling.
Thank
you. Well, I support a liberal sexual culture. Several years ago, there was a program called Hot and Bothered Radio, but it was taken off the air. That, strangely enough, was at the right at the beginning of the Obama administration. I did tell Ernesto Aguilar that I was disappointed.
I'm sorry, I had something in my ear. Could you say that again, please?
Oh, okay. Do you remember a program called Hot and Bothered Radio?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
What station was it on? Was it on KPFT?
2009.
What station was it on?
KPFT.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was after midnight, so it was in Safe Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what has to be in Safe Harbor and what... I know there are words that are banned, but don't know about concrete issues.
Yeah, and I suppose if I was in that kind of a time slot, it would be made known to me what I can and cannot do.
You know,
I just try to be generally careful.
Yeah, well...
I wouldn't be comfortable doing that kind of show. It's just not my thing.
Ernesto did not... Well... He said that he had not gotten any complaints from the FCC, but he decided he ought to be careful. I don't really know why, because we went from a Republican administration to a Democratic one. Seemed a little strange. There's a lot of positions that I think are liberal that I don't hear on KPFT. Oh, for example, recently I posted on Facebook and Daily Coast that I'm gay and also polyamorous. In other words, I'm not monogamous.
Okay, and that is important to the world at large because?
Well, it's a matter of personal freedom.
I always get torn, well, not always, but I sometimes get torn on that kind of thing. On the one hand, I understand that being out and proud is a necessary thing in order to have the right of being out and proud. Otherwise, you're suppressed and oppressed.
Silence is consent.
Right. So, I mean, I get that part. But assuming the best of all possible worlds, there's a part of me that also feels like TMI, you know, too much information.
Oh.
I mean, people's private business is people's private business, although obviously in a case like we're talking about here, there's the issue of, but my private business affects my public ability to be the person I am. So that kind of stuff gets fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, I notice a lot of gay men who are successful, say lawyers or doctors, are either get married or at least they appear to be monogamous. And I wonder how much, well, I imagine they're usually sincere about their relationships, but still, I can't help thinking there's a little striving for respectability.
Well, I have some simple rules. One of the simple rules is that your freedom stops at the tip of my nose. And another rule that I have is just because something makes me uncomfortable doesn't mean you shouldn't have a right to do it.
No.
So, you know, functioning on those two kinds of rules, essentially, there's a limit to what you can throw in my face, but there's also a limit to what I can restrain you morally, ethically, personally, courteously from doing. So there's that balance that has to be struck that ultimately comes down to simply being considerate of each other.
Yeah. Well, I got 12 likes on my posting on Facebook and something like that number on Daily Coast. In fact, I got a like from a third cousin, and I thought she might be a bit conservative, but she gave me a like.
Well, that's evolution, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, I'm going to let you go if that's okay, unless you have something you want to wrap up.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you, Scott, for calling. Take care. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. You can help support this station by going to kpft.org, clicking on the donate jar, hopefully put it for this show, Think Wing Radio, but it all goes into the same pot. It's just that's how they know if somebody likes the show. But KPFT really needs your support, however much or little you can afford. It is tax deductible if you itemize. KPFT.org. You can go to my website just to see the stuff that I do at thinkwingradio.com or thinkwing.org. You can also follow me on Twitter at Thinkwing Radio. Okay, so I guess that's the station ID. We have open forum 713-526-5738. A lot of miscellaneous stuff happening in the news, so if there's anything that you've been thinking about, bothered about, having an epiphany about, give us a call. 713-526-5738. Okay, next up is Tony. Tony, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Very good. Well, let's see. Trump wants voting information from all 50 states on its citizens.
Unprecedented.
Well,
or unprecedented, as the case may be.
That Barack Obama had requested this.
Oh, my God. They would bring. They would start
riding in the streets.
They would start talking second.
They would be burning the White House down.
Yeah, they would be talking Second Amendment remedies.
Oh yeah, they wanted. Oh gosh, they wanted to impeach him. They want to execute his family, czarist style, all kind of things. But you know what? Trump doesn't care. You know why? Because he was elected by people who felt that he was going to make America great. But in order to do that, he's got to commit purges. And he's going to purge whomever he wants to. And that includes all people. Not just those people, but all people. He's going to find out whether you're a Republican, you say, but you voted Democratically. You voted for Hillary.
You know,
but you're a Republican. They're going to find out all these people who voted Democratic but claim they're Republican.
But we can all feel better that it's on a laptop in Vice President Pence's office.
There you go, totally secure. He's a good one there, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Sure, that's right.
Just like the
right-hand people that helped Hitler. Oh, they were all good. Goebbels and the rest of them.
We've been reminded online by a number of people, if you follow that kind of thing, that it was believed at the time that the conservatives will keep Hitler from doing his really crazy stuff.
You know,
I have to tell you, I had a conversation with a young person, I guess it was a couple of years ago, and they were prepping for a debate. And because I'm just kind of this general knowledge person, I seem to be a go-to for a lot of young people that know me, want to go to debate. And we were talking at the time, the Obama administration was in power, and he was asking me, because all of these red states were like fighting election and fighting gerrymandering, or fighting for the right to gerrymander and the right to suppress, and this person, I don't remember if it was a young man or a young woman, this person asked me, so why don't we just always want the federal government to have the final say in that kind of thing? Now, this was a couple of years ago, long before we even dreamed that someone like Trump could be in the White House. And I said to that person, well, there may come a time when it's the federal government that you feel like is oppressing you, and you'll be grateful that the states can make a ruckus and fight it. And here we are.
Right, and here we are. So, you know, this is another example of what Trump has in mind for everybody. John McCain had brain surgery. Hope he does well, but you know what? If John McCain was John Johnson and he needed brain surgery,
we commit to use our communications program to build the capabilities.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. Bob, we have some kind of cart running. Okay, I think we're good. Tony is still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, as I was saying, John McCain has brain surgery, and everybody's stopping the vote and all that. Big deal. If his name was John Johnson and he was on Medicaid, or if he had one of those lousy plans that the insurance companies would sell you with a lifetime max and a huge deductible,
well, as Ron Paul would say, that's the choice you made. If you're going to die, you're going to die. You know, very Scroogean thing.
Okay, because the senator has very good insurance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
so
it's
Trump, everybody else would be dead, all right? So keep in mind, people, I'm just going to keep reminding all of you people that what you reaping exactly what you have sown.
Well,
and I don't want to hear you crying about it.
I and I'm sure many others have come to the conclusion that there has been a whole lot of Russian-derived money in going into the various levels of the Republican Party. Because
all of the politicians.
Hold on. Let me say something.
Republican and Democrat.
No.
By me.
No. You know what?
I didn't pay for them.
That's a false equivalence.
They're not bought by you, but they're bought by somebody.
That's a false equivalence. It's a false equivalence. I mean, I know that both parties get money from the same people in many cases. Now, they might give more to the Republicans than the Democrats, but they like to cover their bases. But, you know, by this time in Watergate, Republicans were coming around that Nixon had a problem. And the fact that the Republicans have been so resistant.
It's a different time, though, Mike.
Well, let me finish. The fact that the Republicans have been so resistant, that they have been so pro-Russia, that they have gone from nothing happened to what happened wasn't illegal and there's nothing wrong with it, they are in such complete irrational denial that you have to believe that the taint goes deep.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the whole essence of corruption. Every corruptible politician, there's always others involved in it. I mean, they're not the only one. Trump's not the only single solitary person. Of course not.
Of course
not. But that's the essence of corruption. Let me get to one of the subjects real quick, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
I'm listening to the fire department, Houston Fire Department, our finest fire smoke eaters here.
Okay.
Now they want to sue the city or to allow their request for a raise to be placed on the ballot in November because they're not satisfied with the raise that they've been offered, and they also don't like the fact that their pensions, the pension plan isn't the way it wants. They want it to be. Well, you know what? You guys work for the city of Houston. You got three choices the way we work in the private sector have. You either take what we give you, don't take what we give you, or find another job.
Well, it's more complicated.
When I first started with a company, they had a pension plan. A year and a half after I started, they changed to 401, and it's been that way ever since. They didn't ask us employees how we felt about it.
Well, the thing is that for a lot of these government workers particularly, but also a lot of private unionized or non-unionized workers, many years ago, because I remember this really clearly, especially going back to the 1970s when a lot of cities, municipalities, states were in financial distress.
I remember it too.
If you recall, they were willing to forego pay raises in order to get a little better retirement, essentially giving these various organizations, institutions, governments a deferral on their compensation. So now, and I want you to keep in mind the word I'm going to use. So now you've got these people that have spent, literally spent their lives. I mean, think about that word spent. We use that a lot in terms of how we refer to people, but it is literally an expenditure you can't get back. They have spent their lives figuring, okay, I wasn't able to, like, get Social Security in the amount I wanted because I didn't have the pay, and I wasn't able to live the life I wanted or buy the stuff I wanted, but at least I'll be comfortable when I retire. I don't have to worry. Now they want to go back and cut that, and that's just not right.
Well, Mike, I don't dispute that. I mean, if I were in that situation, I'd feel the same way. My problem is this. You know, nobody cares about anything until it hits them.
I'm not going to say, no. There are people.
In the last 35 years, this economy has undergone tremendous changes to every entity in the marketplace. Every worker in America has had everything turned upside down for them, every single one of them. There's not a single worker for a company in America that can't say things are different now than they were 35 years ago.
That's correct.
Companies go bankrupt and the pensions disappear.
And
companies, look what just happened to Whole Foods. Now, here you got a company that put down a couple of $1 billion and bought the business that you've been working in for 20 years, 15, 18, 20 years. You don't even know now whether you'll have a job in another 2 years. But you invested 20 years with Whole Foods.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that is because we have been allowing an enormous amount of industry consolidation. Banks are the biggest example of that.
Firefighters are no different. The cities are entities of the citizens that reside in them. You may want what you want, but I personally do not want my taxes raised.
To keep the you don't want your taxes raised to meet. Hold on, you don't want your taxes raised to. Hold on, you don't want your taxes raised to meet the contractual obligations that were made to these people when they were young enough to make a choice about what they wanted to do for a living. You want to screw them over now so you don't have to pay any tax money now that they're 65. You don't want to pay the. You don't want to honor the agreements that were made because you don't want to pay the taxes. Well, your city made it on behalf of you. Your state made it on behalf of you.
This is not my city. I don't own the city. I just live here. I don't know these people. I just live here.
Just because you don't know them?
I'm not increasing my taxes. No, I'm not voting to increase taxes. No, I'm not doing that.
So you're not going to pay the taxes to meet the obligation of these people that have literally spent their lives, like giving you fire and police protection, for example, or picking up your garbage.
They do that. They accepted the job and the pay. That's what their job is.
They accepted the job based on the contracts that were signed with the promises that were made.
Well, promises get broken, promises get amnesia. It's like that for everybody, everybody.
Verbal contracts are not worth the paper they're written on. These were not verbal contracts. These were paper contracts.
Cities aren't worth the papers printed on.
All
if
right,
somebody
you,
says, hey, I'm not going to do it.
You and I have a fundamental agreement. I think that your word is worth something, and especially when it's on paper, it's definitely worth something.
I don't dispute that, but at the same time, I got to tell you something. I don't personally, the way things are today with Trump and what's going on in the world and what's happening, man, you can't trust any entity to keep their word.
All right, Tony, I'm going to have to let you go. I got a couple, three other people
on the line. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it as always. Take care. All right, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT. A little contentious there. He and I had, I think, a fundamental philosophical disagreement. You're listening to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. KPFT.org is how you keep this station on the air. Please contribute what you can. Click on the donate link. Remember Think Wing Radio when you do so. But really, money is always an issue. So this isn't a fundraising thing. This is just a reminder that we always need money. Okay, Johnny, you're on the air. How you doing tonight?
I highly recommend donating to your show.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You said something here near the top of your show that caused me to want to call. This is in response to the Republicans and the Trump administration's plans, you know, rubbing their hot little hands on wanting to get valuable information, which I think is illegal for them to do, to have my personal voting information, my Social Security number, what party I voted in, and all these other things. That's too much information for one individual, whether they're a government person or not, to have. So my idea is the following. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, if they're going to do this kind of thing, rather than me calling the Secretary of State of Texas and telling them I want to cancel my voter registration, which could be another win-win for them,
yeah.
Screw that. I'm not going to do that. What I would say is let's start talking seriously about sending our federal income tax return, the money that we owe, to one of six states, Washington, Oregon, California, Vermont, New York, or Connecticut. I'm sure these six states are headed by Democratic governors. Am I correct?
Well, unfortunately, it's irrelevant. You can't simply choose to withhold your federal taxes.
I didn't say withhold. I said a mass of Americans.
If you're not, if you're not sending them,
send their the money that they owe, their federal tax money, instead of paying that, sending that to Washington, where Trump can use it.
Which state you send your federal? No,
we send it temporarily.
No,
even, in an agreement with these with the legislatures of these states, as
you know what,
holding our money in the meantime until he gets out of office.
You're talking about something along the. Wait a minute, Johnny. Wait a minute. You're talking about something on the lines of putting something in escrow while you're in dispute. I mean, essentially, that's what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
That's correct.
Yeah, and you can't do that. Well, I mean, you can do that, but you would be in for a world of legal hurt. And remember that as long as you are not sending money, now you can send it to the IRS and dispute it if you want to draw their attention to you. You can do that. But if you don't send it to the IRS, you not only pay interest, you pay penalties, and that stuff can end up coming to more than the tax you owe. So you need to think really careful and hard before you start talking about some kind of protest withholding, protest escrowing, protest sending it to a democratically governed state. I mean, you're talking, this is heavy stuff. And the
it's
penalties
serious,
are
I agree. Very it, serious, deadly serious.
And the penalties are severe.
By myself. Nor would I do it if only a dozen or a few hundred other people across the U.S. did that. This would have to be tens of thousands of people across the U.S. doing this all at the same time.
I would not recommend it. But,
well,
you know,
I'm putting you in a bind because you're on the radio, and even though this is alternative radio, KPFT, I can understand how that would put you in a bad spot.
No,
I'm just putting it out there.
Honestly,
for people listening.
Honestly,
conversation to think about this and start talking to your friends and family offline.
I get that.
Can I say something? I think all they're going to do is send that money from Colorado back to D.C.
Well, that may be, but you still wouldn't get credit for it. I don't feel that limited about what I can say personally on the air. I try to weigh my words carefully because when I'm talking on the air as opposed to around a dinner table, I think that what I say potentially has a little bit more weight in some ways. But no, I don't feel inhibited. If I thought it was a great idea, I'd say, yeah, that might be a great idea, but I'm telling you, if anybody did that, I don't care if it was hundreds or thousands, they would be in for a world of hurt. So I would not recommend that unless you, on the advice of a lawyer in a group, you know, it's kind of like doing civil unrest or civil...
It's better than blowing up federal buildings.
It's
cheaper.
It's kind of like when what's the technical term for it? Basically peaceful protest, and typically, but apparently not lately so much. There are some people that agree in advance that they are going to do something, obstructing traffic or whatever, that's going to get them arrested, and they know in advance that they're going to get arrested. And when it's coordinated well, the police know who has agreed to be arrested. And those people have had bail arranged. Those people have had legal representation arranged because as part of the organized protest, that's been set up. Unless you could do some kind of a tax protest where you had those kinds of assurances, where essentially it's all coordinated not only with the protesters but with the government dealing with the protest, world of hurt, man. World of hurt. All right, unless you want to wrap something up, Johnny, I'm going to let you go and go on to the next person. I guess that answers that question. Okay, who's up next, Bob? M.O.D.? M.O.D., how you doing tonight?
Hey, Mike.
Was I rude to Johnny, do you think?
I sensed not a tiredness, but a sadness when you started your show, so...
Yeah, it's hard, man.
I don't want to get in your business, so...
I mean, it's going to be like that for a while, I'm afraid, but I'm doing my best to kind of keep the energy up.
Yeah, so my dissertation on how the Frankfurt School got in this situation, I'm not going to give you that dissertation, and I'm not going to let me think. Quick question.
Okay.
What are we going to do about what happened Friday? I know the program is my opinion, Mike. The radio format is good. It's just the way the money's being managed. Is that what we're looking at right now?
Well, okay. So I assume you're talking about the IGM thing.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, let me preface this by saying I try not to get involved in station politics. My goal, I want to do a show.
Yeah.
I want to be on the air. I want to be able to put forth ideas and have ideas thrown back at me and have some constructive discussion or a little argument sometimes. I will say this, and I've said this publicly on Facebook, without getting involved in personalities, without getting involved in he said, he said, I think that terminating someone after 3 months, unless they have done something egregiously bad,
right,
is just poor management.
Yeah.
I mean, just from the jobs I have had, the places I have worked, when I have observed the churning of management, the results are never good. It basically stops all initiatives because you can't get anything started that's going to get finished. It damages morale. It damages productivity. It damages efficiency. It has been my personal observation, anecdotally. I don't have, like, management research to back this up. I don't think anybody can even begin to manage something for at least 6 months. It takes 6 months for them to be accepted. It takes 6 months for them to run through the stuff that was left over for them to start their own stuff. It takes 6 months for them to actually get their feet on the ground administratively, personnel-wise. I mean, whatever, I don't know anything about the personalities involved, or what I do know, you know, that's between them and them. But from a strictly management standpoint, borrowing some egregious wrong that might have been done by a manager, like stealing, which is not in dispute here, you know, 3 months just isn't enough time.
Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate either. Or just in general, right?
In general.
Yeah, so I want to ride this out. I hope we get to this.
I will say this, though. You mentioned a very interesting point, an important point about, is this about money? Well, I have gone through some times in my life when I was poor, when I was really, really struggling for various reasons, in debt for various reasons. And I will tell you that paying bills is not hard. Barely paying bills is really, really hard. And it puts a lot of emotional stress on people and maybe affects their judgment in how they do things. And whether that's an issue at play here, maybe, you know, on an institutional kind of group level, there's a lot of financial stress. And, you know, you can argue who's responsible. Bob is pointing, and I don't know why. Bob, why are you pointing? Tell me in my ear.
Do you want to announce that meeting?
Is it a totally public meeting, or is it only for members?
It is a public meeting, yes.
Sure, mention it.
There's going to be a meeting, MOD, if you didn't know, or those of you listeners who didn't know, this Friday night, 3901 Alameda. Mm-hmm. That's near where Highway 59 goes over Alameda Road, or
yep.
Blodgett Street is near there. It's the Shape Center building. From this Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. to discuss some of this.
And this is a completely public meeting. It doesn't have, it's not like for people who are like $40 members or whatever.
No, it's open.
Okay.
Doors are open. There's
just all listeners.
Quite a bit of parking there.
Okay. All right. So there's that. All right. So I've prattled on quite a bit, so I'm going to let you talk now.
No, Mike. Like I said, I'm going to take it easy. I think it's, but I know we cycled out BBC, right? Whatever they used to come on a while ago, right?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, BBC's been gone a while.
Oh, yeah, BBC now is on the other public radio station.
Right, and I think you know what I think.
I like BBC.
God bless Amy, but it's like Pentagon Radio now with her, and I want to allude to is how much money could we save if we alleviated that show also?
You know, that's a complicated thing. And like I said, because I'm not into the station politics, I'm not into the station finances. I know that she raises a large chunk of money.
She does raise money.
But I also know that the station is billed for her programming. So I'm not sure how that balances out.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Quite a bit.
And I'm not sure whether that balances out or not. Bob?
It doesn't.
To that, MOD, I think the applications or opportunities for participation in a revitalization of a program council, it's been discussed since November. We're trying to get that on the floor.
Okay.
And you'd be welcome to join or certainly be considered.
Bob, let me ask you a question. You're on the station board, right?
Yes.
Okay. So does Democracy Now... And if this is confidential information, don't share it with me. And, of course, he's on the phone now.
Yeah.
So, but the question that I have, Bob, to your knowledge, if you can say, does Amy cost more than she brings in, or does she bring in more than she costs? Because that's a bottom-line issue.
I've heard some opinions recently about her show during the last fund drive. That information is so sketchy, I think I'd rather not mention
it. Yeah, let's not talk about it.
It has traditionally been a great fundraiser, her two shows in the morning and then the carbon copy in the evening. She has, as you know, done quite a bit of pitching with her show in those mornings, previous fund drives.
But it is my understanding that KPFT
less of that in this past fund drive.
But it is my understanding that KPFT
overall
owes her a large chunk of money.
Yeah, I won't say how many millions, guys, but yeah.
I'm sorry. It is my he's just put on his headphones, which actually I wish you would do more often. Just saying.
That's right. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. He doesn't put on his headphones. Bob, as
hey, I've got this hairdo.
Yes, I know. You're. It affects the pretty.
Well, you should tell me these things off the air.
Well, man. I don't. You know, I don't like to pester you. You know, I try to be very easygoing. I am sometimes perceived as being a very prickly person.
No. Yeah, you're fine.
So what was your question?
The question was, it is my understanding that there is what you would consider debt that KPFT and perhaps Pacifica as a whole owe to Democracy Now. Now, yes. If that is the case, then I would say that as great a fundraiser as she is, it's putting the station in debt to carry her show.
Well, it is. And I guess among those that are in the know, it seems to be a great unspoken of when that debt will come due.
Right.
But I think it does accrue.
Yep.
And I don't know much about it, but that now, seems to be the general consensus as far as that goes.
Now, as far as Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, I mean, I started hearing about it. I don't listen to it religiously. I started hearing about it when I lived in New York on WBAI. So, I mean, I was in New York when she first started doing the show, and I guess it was the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my first thought was Democracy Now! Without even putting a comma is a very pretentious title. That was my first thought. Over the years, I have very mixed feelings about Amy Goodman. I have never caught her saying anything which in retrospect was untrue or inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
I just feel that she's a real Debbie Downer.
Well,
what do you mean by that, Debbie Downer?
Hey, Bob, Mike, I think we should start calling it Democracy at Gunpoint.
How so? Why so?
We have a lot of war going on right now, guys.
Yeah.
And it's all about war. And it's the narrative is, you know where I would go with that, Mike, so I don't want to ruin it. But anyway, so I'm thinking we ought to talk about it. Like, Bob, Friday night between 7 and 10, you said?
That's right.
At the Shape Center at
3903
Alameda. Alameda and Pignan. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't want to interrupt.
That's okay. I interrupt people all the time, so I can't complain.
We're polite. So I'm going to keep my position as a Democrat precinct judge, Mike. I'm not running away from my values. My dad.
Good for you.
Helped me grow up in. But I get a little upset being punked by political ideology or values. I think I just have that feeling that, you know, we're just arguing results of something that's already being pooped down on top of us. So that's all. I appreciate your discussion. So we'll let you go tonight. I'm not going to.
Okay. We'll talk again. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye bye. Listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. And Johnny, Johnny, I guess, let's go back to Johnny really quick so he can wrap up. Johnny, was there something you wanted to wrap up before we lost you?
Yeah, you should know that Magic Jack might be monitoring my calls because after I told that idea to you and before I could respond back, they had cut my call. So I just reset it real quick. So
you see, just
cut me off again.
They're giving you fair warning, man. Fair warning. Okay, take it easy, Johnny. Thanks
Amy
for calling
Goodman
back.
Came from Pacifica Radio,
yeah.
WBAI, and
yeah.
She's done lots of fundraising for KPFT. She is KPFT and WBAI and the other two, three stations. So to now talk about whether she's worth keeping on or not is kind of insulting.
No.
And the fact that she has an exclamation point after democracy now is a double entendre. It's not arrogance.
Well,
she's not a Debbie Downer. She's delivering the news. Don't shoot the messenger. Shoot the Republicans, for Christ's sake.
I respect her. I just think that she... I think she's just philosophically, ideologically, always looking for the worst about America, which is not to say we shouldn't hear about it, which is why I have such mixed feelings about her. She says
now,
stuff that we need to know.
She's not a political commentary show. She's a straight news program.
No, she is absolutely political commentary because she editorially decides what it is she's going to talk about. So she's news from an editorial perspective. But anyway, I got
to
let you go because, Johnny, I got
to
let you go. I got to. Well, I mean, you just, what you have to do, Johnny, is recognize what they are. But I have to let you go because you've already had your turn. So we'll talk another time.
Let's keep this real. Let's not start circling wagons.
We all have our opinions. We all have our opinions. Okay. Did I finish my station ID? I don't think I did. Think Wing Radio, 90.1 FM, Houston, KPFT.org. Please click and send us money. And thinkwingradio.com so you can get all my show information, and Think Wing Radio on Twitter. And Jerry, how you doing tonight? You're on.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I kind of like halfway agree with you about Amy Goodman and everything. You know, Johnny, a lot of people, thousands of people have volunteered at KPFT. And everything, and they're just as much a part of KPFT and Pacifica as Amy Goodman. And I think whenever you sit there and say she's Pacifica or she's, you know, this or she's that, when she's not, in point of fact, it's sort of like a slap down to a whole bunch of people that volunteered up there. I spent a lot of time volunteering up there. It was years ago, but I spent quite a bit of time volunteering at that place.
I will say this. She has, I think, one of, if not the largest national profiles for Pacifica. For better or worse, she does. As much as I respect the stuff that we do locally and that I'm sure other stations in their own ways do locally, the fact is, you know, I'm only carried here. It's not like I have national airtime. I mean, if I go 100 miles, nobody's heard of me. So... You know, it's a very complicated question. You know, in business, supermarkets and other kinds of retail, you have sometimes what are called loss leaders. You know you're going to lose money on a product, but you advertise it to get people in the store to also buy the stuff that you will make money on, and on a net basis, you profit. Now, if that's the case with democracy now, it makes economic sense. But if it's not bringing in other people to the station, if it's not bringing in, if it's not acting as a loss leader, which it is, if it's not acting as a true loss leader that then gives us net profit on other programming so that we can support the programming, I'm not saying that the show should be dumped. I'm just saying that really we have to look at the economic model that we use to run it. And they need to look at the economic model they're using to sell it to us.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's nonprofit, but on some level, it's still business think. You can't keep running in the red indefinitely.
Oh, that's true. But I just like, you know, I think that, you know, basically, you know, KPFT is, you know, Bob and Mike and Jerry and MOD, unfortunately.
And Bobby, who helps to keep the station on the air. I mean, it's all those people.
And everything. So, you know, I kind of, you know, it's there from the beginning either.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up now.
What?
You're breaking up now.
I am. It's not like she was there from the beginning and everything.
She was practically from the beginning.
A lot longer than that show.
Well, WBAI went on the air pretty much at the beginning of Pacifica, and she went on BAI pretty much at the beginning of BAI. So, yeah, I mean, she's a Pacifica institution, and that's all fine. And, you know, again, my feelings about her are very, very mixed. But at the end of the day, is she keeping the station on the air, or is she running us into so much debt that we can't support her?
Well, that's a question that needs to be answered.
Definitely.
I'll just say something about that, too.
All right, and then I got to go because I got now two callers, and I want to try to get them on.
And everything, and this isn't anything against anybody up there. This is what's meant to be as a political commentary. But I've noticed that information about the station is in extremely short supply, and everything factual information. And I think that's one of the problems KPFT and Pacifica have is they don't want to own up to some things, maybe, or admit and everything. If you try to find out what the, you know, what the, like the, you know, how they did in the Arbitron ratings or whatever.
Yeah, we don't do Arbitron ratings. We can't afford them.
You know, but there's ways you can kind of like ascertain where you sit, where you fit in the media landscape there.
I mean, we try
what you've got. But anyway, let me let you go. I've been always disappointed at the lack of information up there at the station.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 501c3. I suppose it should all be public information, but I think that because so much of it is volunteer or underpaid staff, you know, maybe sometimes what needs to get done doesn't get done, which is like a whole other issue.
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
I'll let you go,
Jerry.
Thanks.
Take care. Thanks. Okay. Next up is Paul. You're not quite on the air yet. Now you're on the air,
Hello.
Paul. How you
doing? I know I've talked to a lot of people on the station. You know, I know a lot of people on the station for a long time. It's how do you say it? It's one thing to open a can of worms, but don't open the can of worms at both ends.
I don't think I've heard that Texanism before. Is that a Texanism?
No, that's me. I just bring out humor, right?
Tell me what that means.
There's a mess going on, right?
There at the station, yes. There has been a little agitation over the last few days.
And all right, you know Nancy, there used to be on their board of directors for 5 years, right? I know Kathleen Curran from this and that way back when. And I understand there's problems with some money management this way, that way. And when you do a donation, which is like a betrayal of trust, and you say, I can only do, like me, $10 a month, and they take
$120. Which is great. We appreciate that.
No, but I got $120 taken out.
Right.
I do $10. I can't. I'm on a fixed income.
Right.
Right. And they took out $120. Nobody said do that.
Oh, they took it out all at once?
Yeah. This is.
And that was a very hard thing to correct, I imagine, if at all.
It took me 3.5 weeks. So the debit card canceled this, canceled that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's aggravating.
2.5 weeks, right? You know, I'm still a hardcore supporter of KPFT. And I'll always be.
Well,
you give me some answers.
I can't give you answers, but I can give you opinion. Opinions are cheap.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I think first of all, the staffing. You know, when you have turnover in personnel, right now we're terribly understaffed.
Yeah,
and of course, understaffed means overburdened.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get things done administratively, and it's frustrating. I think for me, the key, you know, and again, I don't want to start taking sides in politics at the station.
No.
But I think that there are a lot of well-meaning people. I think everybody who works at the station is on a station board and a station position. Everybody means well.
Well, we're on the same page.
But sometimes egos get involved, feelings get involved, and it's we have to, all of us as human beings, whenever we're in that kind of situation, we just have to fight that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to try, and emotions are emotions. That's what makes them involuntary.
All right, on Sunday, I'm talking to Colleen and the Blues Hound, right? And I'm talking to Colleen. He calls her baby girl. I can't call her that. I said, well, it's like this. Robert Johnson, Blues, we got stones on the pathway. And we got bumps in the road. And we got hiccups. Right?
The people that are involved in essentially the running of the station have to at some point swallow their emotions,
exactly,
and try to come up with compromise and consensus.
And kind of go, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I'm glad that you used that word instead of the word that I have a feeling was about to come out. I thought that I kind of heard like the lips start to form a letter, and then you change to the H. Thank you so much. All right, I gotta let you go. We're gonna have to wrap this up
okay.
in a couple of minutes.
Now, do what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. Make people think. Not my way, not your way. Make people think, make people laugh, and that's it.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good enough.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Maintain.
Paul. Take care.
Bye.
Okay. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT. You see, Bob now should be smiling broad. I've got a whole 2 minutes and 40 seconds to shut things down. You won't have to cut me off after I say
it. I can feel it.
I can feel it. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Remember, support KPFT by going to kpft.org. Give what you can when you can. Juan Flores is going to be coming up with Jazz Latino. Stay tuned. He's a pleasant listen. I like Juan. I like listening to him on the way home. I guess my quote that I'm going to try to wrap up with, I was listening to KPFT late at night 5 years ago. I wish I could remember the show. It was something called like The Other Side. And they were playing some clips from Dylan Brody's comedy album, Chronological Disorder. And this is what he said. And I liked it so much, I actually made it like one of my little quotes on my email. Quote, I recently heard Newt Gingrich say that Obama is a Robin Hood socialist. How far off the path of decency do you have to wander to read the Robin Hood legend and identify with the sheriff? Words to live by, folks. Are we now considering the sheriff the good guy? Okay, what do we have? I have a whole minute. I never have a whole minute. Okay, Bob, you got something you want to...
Read a written preparation from last week, then.
Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. I can take a minute on this. Our great Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is advocating a $1,000 raise for our teachers. Unfortunately, he expects the raise to come out of the existing budget of schools. He doesn't want to spend more money. He just wants the schools to do more with less. And as I like to say, if you take doing more with less to its logical extreme, at the end of the day, you're trying to do everything with nothing. Lieutenant Governor Patrick, if you want to give the teachers a raise, you're just going to have to find some tax money to do it. Don't expect the schools to cut back because they're already at the bone. Okay, I think we can start the theme music now. We're down to our last 25 seconds. You see, I managed to fill that in. Okay, I will...
You're a great engineer.
Yeah, I'm terrific. I don't even have to make the knobs move. Like I can just sort of pretend. All right, I'll be back with you guys next Monday. Fun as always, interesting as always. A little lively conversation is great. Everybody take care. Juan Flores coming up.
Join the Rothko Chapel on the Plaza July 20th at 7 p.m. for a blend of jazz and bluegrass music from Jackie Sutton and the Frontier Jazz Orchestra as they present songs from their first two albums, Billy and Dolly and Notes from the Frontier. Reviewer C. Michael Bailey sums up the group's sound as where jazz meets the American frontier. Mark your calendars July 20th at 7 p.m. for another edition of the Chapel's Summer Sounds on the Plaza concert series. Complimentary alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages will be provided by St. Arnold's Brewing Company. For more details, visit rothkochapel.org. KPFT Houston.
There has never been a better time to donate your car to KPFT. When you contact the KPFT car donation hotline, you will do something great for this community. Call 1-855-573-8227 to donate or find out more information. KPFT is the only radio station of its kind located in Texas. It broadcasts music, news, information, and cultural programming from national distributors, as well as locally produced offerings and more. Your donated vehicle goes to support this unique voice for yourself and others. Have an old car taking up space in your driveway? Donate it to KPFT now. Just call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org to donate your old vehicle to support KPFT. Your contribution is appreciated. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org worldwide.